the Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
Here we go again. Thanks to Kerr's Hire, another edition of the Cat Attack Podcast, AFLW style. But this is not heavy footy talk. If you've come here for that, we'll talk a little bit of footy, but it's more life and it's just banter and it's fun. And it's Michaela Bowen. Hello, Bowie.
What's up, Kingy? How you doing? Good to be back.
It is good to have you back. We got some feedback for the first time.
Super special.
We spoke about Mitch Brown last week and becoming the first openly bisexual man in VFL AFL history. This is from Willow on Big Footy. Just listening to the AFLW ep from this week. Well done to yourself, Kingy, and for Bowie with the open and honest discussion about Mitch Brown and the events of this week. Type of conversation and talk that I want to make sure my kids listen to, and I was so impressed by both of you for it. Well done. So that's nice.
Could not love that more, Kingy, and well done to us for speaking about it, but well done to Mitch Brown for giving us, you know, such an important topic to chat through.
But here's the thing. We moved on. Mm. It happened and we moved on, and not in a bad way.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yep. Thanks, Mitch.
100%. It's often what happens, and especially when it comes to certain topics around, whether it's AFL society-wise, it's like it's all spoken about until, you know, rumours are mentioned, people are speaking about what if and what happens and what could it look like, and then all of a sudden it comes out. And like we mentioned last week, Kingy, it's more support than not for Mitch Brown, and off the back of that hasn't really been spoken about.
Yep. Inside the four walls of the club, not the men's program, but the women's program, was it discussed?
Yeah, we actually had the same question from Angie Green, who I mentioned last week. Spoke to her a fair bit off the back of Mitch Brown and everything that was going on last week, that there's been a lot between players individually, so like a lot of us, and especially because Nathan, his twin, is our midfield coach. So, a lot of conversations from the girls' perspective, probably, in timely reflecting on the recent homophobia that was through the AFL with some comments made, but just the contrast between, you know, what a couple of weeks can do in terms of making movement. And, probably, as we mentioned again last week, Kingy, that we're at a place where we're a lot further along than we have been, but there's still a fair way to go. So,
yeah. Isaac Rankin's back in the country, by the way. I'm not sure whether you've seen him.
I have seen him address the media. Yep.
What did you make of that?
I actually just saw I just wanted to hear him. I think he spoke as well as he could about, I think it's hard in those situations because he says too much sometimes or he doesn't say enough for different people. And obviously it was a topic that was just blown up completely off the back of it. And I saw a video just after, as it was just someone responding to Isaac's comments, and I really loved the way that he addressed that. Obviously Isaac has confronted the media. He's spoken up. Let's leave it. Let's not continue to dig into Isaac's character. Obviously, that needed to be said, and the words that he was able to come up with were appropriate for the situation. But, we're all here to be getting better as a society, and if we continue to, you know, bag on Isaac and boo him, and that's not what this is about. He's clearly got a lot of education coming his way and learning, and as a community, I think that the best way forward is for us to support him and ensure it doesn't happen again. Yeah. So don't condone what was said, but in terms of supporting him, everyone deserves a second chance, and hopefully we can be better off the back of it.
It'd be interesting to see what happens in terms of crowd reaction when he does return
Absolutely.
To play.
Absolutely.
I suspect for a while he will probably cop it.
I agree with you, King. I'm not naive to the fact that I think that will happen. I think it's just if we can get to a place where working forward, that's, you know, something that we are able to accept that, yes, he's very much made a mistake and he accepts that and he's hurt a lot of people. But, you know, clearly he'll be better off the back of it.
You happy with Oscar Piastri on the weekend?
How could you not be, Aussie boy? He's, I think when it comes to McLaren in general, here we are already speaking about the F1. I don't even know how many minutes we're into this podcast.
Four
minutes in and we're speaking F1.
I probably would have opened with it, I was actually going to say, oh, it was good to have a win on the weekend, and you would have gone, we got beat. No, no, no.
Well,
Oscar won.
Yes, and this is controversial for me, Kingy, because I don't know if I've mentioned this live before, the biggest Lewis Hamilton fan,
yes,
Ferrari fan.
Yeah, you have.
And we had a double DNF. So, not a great day for me.
Double DNF.
Double DNF. Lewis Hamilton was out within the first couple laps, and it was the same corner too. Charles Leclerc then went off.
Right.
He got hit by Kimi Antonelli. I did watch it back. But Oscar Piastri, how could you not speak the absolute world of him, an Aussie boy, someone that I think, when it comes to the history of motor racing, is someone that is more Max Verstappen-like, Kimi-like, doesn't have all the bells and whistles, but just gets the job done clearly and puts a massive threat on Lando Norris now.
Have you gone back and watched any of those Adelaide races like I suggested?
I've been busy, Kingy. I've been busy. No, I haven't yet. I haven't, but I need to.
What have you been busy doing?
I've been busy trying to dissect how we can get a win on the board.
Right.
had a tough start to the season at the club in the women's, so lots of conversations being had, trying not to catastrophize, but just got to work that one out and get some points on the board.
Does that really hurt on Sunday? Like, did that sting?
Absolutely. To be raw and unfiltered about it, it does. And as I mentioned to you offline, Kingy, I think each different to another in terms of round one loss, round two loss, round three loss. I think round one and two, they absolutely did hurt because it's like, I don't know how we're just falling off in the fourth quarter and it's a lot of unknown. And yeah, you're probably sitting in a position where, similar to the weekend again, it's a very winnable position. And we've been in every game that we've played in and we just haven't been able to put the full performance together. But again, it's not to discredit the likes of North Melbourne, Adelaide and Sydney. They're an upcoming team. They've been spoken about as one of the most exciting in the comp, but that stings as well. Like, because we at Geelong, being completely honest, we feel like that's us as well. And we do come across as the underdog often, but we've used that as a strength for us before in the previous season. So, not completely disheartening because it's three rounds in. We've still got a lot more to go, but yeah, would have loved to get on top on the weekend.
You got to where the saltwater stories, Guernsey?
Yes, Lawson. It was just incredible too. Lawson was kind enough to take the time out of his day to come and speak to our AFRW group and fill us in a bit on not only just the story of his Guernsey, but his background and designed with his sister as well. And I think it just makes it so much more meaningful, to be able to run out in a jumper that's so personal and has such a broad and deep story about it.
Yep. So you wore the darker colour.
The darker colour, yeah, the home colours. And then yes.
Against Essendon.
Yep, the away, which I personally prefer. I love the white. Yep. I love the white one. Yeah, it looks great.
The jumper's still available too at the catch shop too,
yes,
if you want to get your hands
absolutely
on it. Well, is there something you took away from Lawson's story when he came in and spoke to you?
Yeah, I think it's similar whenever we do Guernseys, whether it's Pride Round or Indigenous Round. I just think the individual aspects as to why Lawson does what he does and maybe the way that he operates, and especially when it comes to Indigenous culture. And again, I won't speak too deep on this topic because I prefer to listen in this space.
Yep.
And that was what we had the opportunity to do when Lawson was presenting, and just to hear how in depth his family are within his story, within who he is, how in depth his family is. Also had some similarities with Lawson. He spent a bit of time in Perth, played for Swan Districts as well. So, and he's just off the back of that. Meg, our captain, just took the time to thank him. First and foremost, for taking the time to speak on the incredible Guernsey, but also Lawson's someone that, as a lot of the men do throughout the footy club, just, completely goes out of his way to really, have thorough conversations with us, really care about how we're going, ask how we're going, but then, ask why. And so even more so off the back of that, Kingy, I think just to have such an incredible story, but also the connection with Lawson from a men's and women's playing group perspective, was even more special to run out the weekend.
How much cross-pollination is there between the men's and the women's program in terms of this time of the year, men still alive in finals? Do you cross paths much, or is it sort of the timings are that, they're walking out as you're walking in?
Yeah, it's busy. It's busy, and not too far off what you've just explained there, Kingy, in terms of in and out. I think to Geelong's credit, I think they do an incredible job in giving the opportunity for crossover and not assuming that that's necessarily a bad thing. I think in some different scenarios, there's more of a we try to keep out of each other's way. Obviously, when it comes to training and gym use and recovery use, we try to schedule that to a sense where you've there's not 60 of us in the gym at once or recovery and the likes. But I think the ability for the club to keep it really organic with our interaction. I was just actually at the club then recovering with Brian and Jack Bowes. Didn't chat to him too much, but often I have really good conversations with the boys in there. I think the club are really taking a step forward with the integration and just allowing that organic nature to happen with the relationship between us both.
Do you work out quickly there's some players, male and female,
yeah,
that like their own
100%
space
and
like their own head space? Like, you can see that they're just, even at training, recovery, massage, whatever, they're just...
Brad Close, I love him.
Yep.
I've said hey to him a couple of times. He said hey back. Yep. That's about it. Love it. Like, you can pick that up. And I think as either way, Kingy, I think whether some are more extroverted, some are more introverted, like, and oftentimes I probably feel with myself, I probably come across quite extroverted, but really I love my own space. I love my own time. So I think when it comes to the club environment as well, it's respecting that we're literally all here to be our best individual selves for the team collective purpose. And if that's, being more introverted around the corridors, and we respect that for sure.
Talking about own space, I've had my own for a couple of days because my wife and children are at the snow.
Whereabouts?
They're at Falls Creek.
Explain to me. I'm lost.
Oh, right.
We know this.
So the Australian Alps obviously runs down the... it straddles the sort of New South Wales-Victoria border.
Yep.
Yeah. So you've got
Threadbow
and Parrish, Smiggins and all that,
yep,
which are New South Wales resorts.
And then beautiful.
This side of the border, you've got... Falls Creek, Mount Hotham, Mount Buller are probably the big three.
Mount Buller. I've heard of Mount Buller before.
Heard of Mount Buller. Yes. So Falls Creek
really want to go there.
So Falls Creek's about a 4.5 hour, maybe 5 hour. You don't drive to Falls Creek. You leave the car in a car park and then...
Yeah. It's bizarre that even Victoria you can drive even close to the snow. That's just bizarre to me because it's never possible in WA.
Plenty of snow.
Yeah, never seen it. No, that's why I'm so intrigued in what you're talking about, because that's awesome. Your wife and kids, are they seen snow before?
No, they're skiers.
Wow.
Yeah, they love to ski.
So next trip you'll let me know and I'll come?
My wife has skied Austria.
Wow.
On Christmas Day.
That's goodness.
One great... Every Christmas Day she goes, this time X amount of years ago I was in Austria
skiing down the slopes.
Yeah.
Fully skiing over snowboarding. Does she love
skiing.
Reasonings as to why one over the other?
No, I think she just
prefers it.
Picked up the skis first.
Yeah, awesome.
I like to snowboard, but not overly... You've got to be of a certain body shape to snowboard.
Right.
And I'm probably a little bit big for that.
Right.
A couple of kilos and I might be okay. But my girls love it.
Yep.
It's not a cheap sport.
No, I can imagine. I can absolutely imagine, yes. How old are they now, your girls, Kingy?
14 and 10.
Yeah, so they're not paying.
The little one turned 10 on Monday.
Oh, bless. Happy birthday.
Yeah, little Kenzalina, or Kenzie.
That's awesome.
She's gung-ho. They've both been in lessons, but she's...
So you really go to the snow? You've been enough to lessons and...
Yeah, the girls, I haven't been as much. Yep. It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Footy season... I got no chance.
I know all about it. Yeah, absolutely.
No chance. But they'll try to go annually. I haven't been for a while, but try to go annually.
So awesome.
No, I was lucky enough 3 years ago. So Lake Tahoe, which sits on the border of California and Nevada.
Yeah, wow.
We spent a white Christmas in Nevada.
Beautiful.
Tobogganed on Christmas Day.
Wow.
Because it was very expensive to ski or board, like, to go up the mountain that we were staying at.
Yep.
Heavenly, it was called. But we found that there was enough snow that there was some man-made toboggan runs. And
love that.
Yeah. 8 a.m. Christmas Day at Lake Tahoe. We're in ski gear. And
it's pretty special.
On these little discs and...
Love that so much. Any injuries you've been lucky enough?
Cut my finger.
Yeah.
Actually, so these discs can, like, they're not great quality.
Right.
You sit on them and they can break in your hands.
Yeah,
so
that's not
sliced.
Fun.
So I'm batching it at the moment. Can't say I've eaten well this week.
Yep.
Toasted, a lot of toasted sangers.
Yep.
So I just, I'm just trying to get my head around. They'll come home, which will be lovely, but I'm just sort of, I'll get used to being by myself and then, oh, hang on.
Just there'll, getting through day by day right
there'll
now.
There'll be three more people in the room.
Yeah.
I'll go, oh, where'd you guys come from? My wife and I, we're ships in the night this time of year.
Yeah.
It's...
Yeah.
It's hard.
Never get a chance.
No. Just, you get to, my motto, Green Day, wake me when September ends.
Yes. Very busy time of year.
Well, and the thing is, the Cats play, men play finals every year.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a pretty good problem to have, I must say.
I've been here 18 years.
Yeah.
They've missed twice.
Yeah. Which is pretty incredible.
And actually, one of the years I actually probably wasn't properly, I was here, I was calling footy, but I wasn't in the office working.
Yeah.
So that was 2023. So that sort of sucked because, oh, well, the year I'm not there, they didn't play finals anyway.
Yeah.
It's a big month.
I can imagine.
Do you get caught up in the hype at the club that the men
absolutely
are going through?
I remember my first season moving over to Geelong.
That was 22.
It was the back end of 2022.
Yeah.
We were versing St Kilda at GMHBA Stadium, and it was, I don't know if it was the weekend of the grand final, potentially. Yes, because the boys won in 2022. It was the weekend of the grand final. I'm almost certain that we had a game.
You played on the Thursday night, didn't you?
Yes, Thursday night against St Kilda. Pumped them, respectfully.
Yep.
Just smashed it. But it was honestly, Kingy, the energy, the vibe, I can even feel it now. I can absolutely feel it now throughout the club. And obviously, as we mentioned, we've had a bit of a different story when it comes to our results on the women's side. But like, it's just an energy that's completely throughout the four walls.
Mm. 50 points you won by.
Yes.
So that was about your fifth game.
Yeah. I remember it clearly. I felt great after that. It'd be nice to feel that again this weekend.
Yes. So Windy Hill.
Windy Hill Bombers.
Which you played a practice match there last year.
Yeah, we haven't had super, super, super great results at Windy Hill. Well, I've only had personally one run there in a practice match, I think 2 years ago, which we went down against Bombers.
You had 20 disposals in that game against St Kilda.
Mm-hmm.
Four tackles.
On the wing.
Yep.
On the wing. How do you find this information so quickly?
I'm
looking at you and I can see your eyes just going as I'm speaking.
That's great. No, I just found it.
That's great.
8 kicks, 5 marks, 12 handballs.
I wouldn't know how to find
that
specific.
You kicked to behind though.
Yeah, boo. I wouldn't do that now. No, I would. I would.
And gave away a free kick.
Yeah, that's not fun. What are you on the AFL website?
There's a thing called AustralianFootball.com.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I don't know where you're finding these stats.
Which is a great resource for AFLW.
Yeah, great.
So men's footy has AFL tables. Have you ever been on AFL tables?
No.
Don't, because you'll go down a rabbit hole.
I'll get lost.
Yeah, you'll get absolutely.
Dan already shows us enough stats.
It's like Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But for AFL heads.
Does Dan tell you that the reason why so many people wear number 29 at Geelong is because of him and not the bloke that wore it after him? Do you know who wore it after him?
No.
Gary Ablett Jr.
Are you kidding? Wow. that's so funny.
That's a bit harsh on Dan.
Speaking of Gary Ablett Jr.,
yes.
Did you watch the Legends game?
Only a little bit because I was watching the AFL Awards.
Right. It was on the... Was it? Wait. It was the same...
Same time.
Are you kidding?
Yep.
That's an interesting crossover.
Because of the Gold Coast Essendon game having to be
on the
Wednesday.
Yes.
I would suspect the awards may have been on the Wednesday night.
Right, okay.
Had not.
Yeah, been pushed back.
Back, yeah.
Yeah.
I suspect maybe in future the awards have to be on a Tuesday. Wednesday can be Legends game.
Yeah.
And Thursday potentially is when the W round starts.
Yes, okay.
If they're going to have a pre-finals bye round, they should be playing W across the 4 days.
Yeah.
Getting as many eyeballs on the four games.
Yeah.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
Less crossover.
Yeah.
You know, that gives you more time slots.
Yeah.
Well, you actually could basically play every game in its own time slot if you fixture it right.
It's such an interesting conversation that in terms of fixturing, broadcasting, getting more eyes on the game because, again, to be as vulnerable as I can with you, Kingy, sometimes it's like what's the better option to play amongst when the men's is on and hope that there's a crossover of from a viewer perspective, wow, there's just footy on.
Yep.
And then there's probably a realistic view sometimes of being like we're still at a place of being like there's men's footy and there's women's footy. So, yes, I completely agree with you, but my mind partly goes to I would wonder if we were to start on that bye weekend, if generic men's football fans would – roll with the fact that footy is off for a weekend.
Yep.
And then we still wouldn't get viewership. I think that's what, and it's a very, you know, open-ended conversation, and everyone has a different view on the best way forward in terms of the AFL. Do you do double headers? Do you play men's and women's on the same, like we were to fly with the men's team to Gold Coast and play together? Or but you wonder, yeah, whether or not that opens the opportunity or if it dampens because the men's is so close, which neither rather is, you know, preferable at this stage, really.
You've been in the comp long enough. You played in the early season.
Yeah.
You know, or the early year competition. You've played in the later year competition.
Yeah.
Now you're playing in this one, which is, you know, there's a little crossover.
Mm.
Have you got a preference?
No, because I feel like often, especially with the growth and what we're in the 10th season, the AFLW now, I think there's so much of sitting back and being like, I'm just so grateful to play. Yep. I'm still, and it's 10 years on. I know there's opinions throughout the AFLW specifically that's like, yes, we're grateful, but you know, there's got to come a time where we start pushing for more, and I'm very on board with that as well. But I probably wouldn't say I have a preference, because every time I've just been so focused on how much I'm loving playing footy at the highest level. I do love at the moment, like we're speaking, that there's crossover with men's finals and women's footy from, like, I'm lucky enough, as you've mentioned, that Geelong just more often than not and end up being in finals and having a really strong presence, and that gives us energy as a women's group. But yeah, I'd be curious as to what it felt like from potentially a women's side that their men's has just finished now, or whatever that looks like. But I don't mind it right now for any reason. It's more just I'd love to do what's best for the growth of the overall competition, and I can't answer that right now.
Would you like to play curtain raisers occasionally?
I get so triggered by that word, I think.
Sorry.
Don't be sorry. Yeah, no, don't be sorry.
Poor language.
No, yeah, no, don't be sorry at all. It's more like...
Sorry, double headers is the phrase I should have used.
It's more... I think that's where you come from, because each different view has a... where to potentially open for the men. It's like, we'll play first. No one kind of comes, and then they come for the back end of ours, and hopefully as a female player you sit there and be like, well, hopefully we can get... I think that's part of the issue, Kingy, is getting viewers on the game to start with.
Yep.
So is that an opportunity for the double headers to be like, great, well, at least if we can get some new viewers on the game, even in the fourth quarter, just before people are rocking up to you know, see the men's game, and that's when, from a playing perspective, all you're trying to do is make the quality of the product as best as it possibly can be, so that when you do get those viewers, it's like, well, okay, well, this is different to what I expected.
Yep. Or do you go the other way?
And exactly. And play afterwards.
Yep.
And that's, you know, that's a very, very much so an opportunity as well to see if there's retention from those that have stayed for the men's game and potentially want to watch a quarter, or some that just come for the women's. But I think often, especially as athletes, we can sit there and think about what it's like to be a fan or a viewer, or what would be best for us as players. But I think in that scenario, we're potentially asking that the fans of the men's game are going to sit through a long game of footy, because the men's is longer, and stick around then for our game. That's ideally the prime situation as a player, being like, wow, how cool would that be?
Yep.
And then I sit here, Kingy, and I go, okay, would I do that? I would for the sake of trying to grow the women's competition. I'm thinking maybe in another code, maybe in women's soccer, or because of how passionately I feel towards women's sport, and knowing that what is needed to grow the game is viewership, is support. So I'd want to do that. But is that unreasonable to ask as well? Being like, it's a great opportunity to, but how many people will stay around for what, 4 or 5 hours?
Yep.
It's a long time. So that's...
especially kids.
Yeah, especially kids as well. So that's, you know, I think I'm very open to every... I love speaking about it, because everyone... I don't think there's right or wrong at the moment. I think especially as a player, you have to remain constantly open to the different views, because if there was a right or wrong, we would know by now, and there'd be some action taken. I think there's action that has tried to be taken at this stage, and it's still just, does this work, does this not? As you mentioned, there's been different times throughout the year that we've played, and I'm sure there'll be metrics taken off each one of those to see what's preferable.
Yep. Yeah. We'll watch this space, because it's got to eventually get to the point where everybody plays everybody once.
I had a conversation yesterday about the fact that, why do we have a ladder? When, you know, and I think I very much know the answer to that question because I love having a ladder, especially when you're sitting higher up on it. It's, of course you want a ladder. But, yeah, I think in terms of, in terms of, I've often thought when you're playing in the competition, you've got a, for example, when Adelaide were going on their hot streak of winning premiership after premiership back to back, I was at West Coast at that time and we hadn't played them at all. And I'm like, we were realistically at West Coast, like we would do our best against them, but more often than not, they were the absolutely, very much rightly so, the strongest team. And but for the team, so for the 3 years I was at West Coast and 1 year I was at Geelong, so we only just played Carlton last year.
Yep.
So I had 4 years in the AFL system. AFLW, sorry, and hadn't versus Carlton once.
Yeah.
And so for me, I sit there and I'm like, well, if Carlton were to have won the last 4 premierships, that just does not feel... Yeah. I didn't get a chance to try and have a say in that at all. So, again, we're absolutely deep diving into all the nitty-gritties of the way the competition's set up at the moment. And there's just so many views on it, Kingy. Yeah. So
it won't work when Tassie come in.
Yeah,
it'll take us to 19 teams, so 18 games, which is a good number, but you won't be able to do that over. You'll need buys in there, obviously. The thing I thought they could have done potentially was conferenced, and you could have gone 9-9,
right?
Played everybody in your conference once, which gives you your 8 games,
yeah,
and then based on ladder position the previous year, you would play 4 games against one of those, 4 or 5 games against. From the other conference, and that might give you something that's a little bit more. And then you have you know, you two ladders, all that sort of stuff. I know that's probably not what we want.
How did you feel in the initial years when they did that?
So the Cats came in 19,
like
we managed to play in a prelim off the back of that conference system.
But I
think won 3 home and away games,
right?
And it was
yeah.
It was a. I think if you. And a lot of people have forgotten. I remember when Geelong got back into the finals in
23.
There are a lot of people saying, oh, Geelong's first finals appearance, which it wasn't.
But in the new structure.
But you look, because I think people had forgotten that, oh, hang on, Geelong actually played in a prelim and obviously Rocky Cranston's going to work with us and Rocky and I spent some time together.
Yeah, awesome.
And she remembers that prelim and goes... We just got belted. Yeah. We weren't even in the same class.
Who'd they played in?
Adelaide.
You know? Adelaide. Yes. Yes. And they just got, completely rolled.
One goal.
Yeah.
Like they were just not even in the same class.
Yeah. And that just comes, Kingy, I think, as I mentioned, we're in the 10th season now of the AFLW. But, again, we've come so far, but we've still got such a long way to go. And the competition is so young.
Yeah.
It's, and so there's still not enough equality throughout the comp. There's still not enough... I think we're really just starting to see that the crop of young girls that are coming through now in this year's draft and from now on that have been playing since they've been the same age as the men would nowadays.
Yeah.
And that's just, whether harsh or not, that's just the reality of where our comp has been and what we've had to do in order to get the comp up and running is to have athletes come from different codes but and all sorts of things. But what comes from that is a discrepancy in the, the outcome of what the game looks like. So, yeah, it's been an interesting one. I think we're getting there.
We weren't going to do heavy footy talk, but we have probably gone that way today. I just want to talk to you about there was a good – I shouldn't say the good's not the right word. Sometimes I've got to engage brain before opening mouth.
Mm-hmm.
There was a fracas in your game, a little push and shove.
Oh, yes.
Amy McDonald and Lucy McAvoy don't seem to get along, judging by the photo that I saw.
Well, so did you see the more than the photo? Did you see the video?
No, I haven't seen the video.
Okay, so if you saw the video, you would say that it looks like Lucy McAvoy and Michaela Bowen don't get along.
Oh, I missed.
Because it was Luce and I that were at... And AMAC came in to support me.
Right.
So I'm standing... I'm sitting here right now.
You're fighting out of your weight division with Lucy.
Absolutely, and I can... Not that
we know your weights because we're not allowed to publish those.
Hand on heart, Lucy McAvoy is one of my great mates throughout the competition.
Oh, really?
So we went through, Lucy would be similar age to me. She played Vic Country. I was playing for WA State.
So captain the Geelong Falcons.
Yep.
She actually capped, she came into the Falcons program when what was in the TAC Cup started in 2017.
Yeah, wow.
So how old were you in 2017? 14, 15?
I would have been... Well, I was born in 2001. I would have been
16. So we turned 16 that year.
Yeah.
So they came in. So Lucy must have turned 16 that year.
Yeah.
But they played early. So she captained the Falcons as a fifth. Okay. Not as a bottom age.
Yeah.
A bottom age.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she,
she's incredible.
She had 3 years. She's she's one of the nicest people.
100% Kingy. And that's why I'm purely saying to you on here, it was so funny how it happened. Because, as I mentioned, Luce and I went head-to-head in the state pathways. We then went through the AFL Academy together. Mm. So I've known her for a while. Obviously went to different teams and a lot. Same with a lot of the girls, Becky Webster, Nina Morrison, we all know each other from that academy. Mm. So when it initially happened, I was in a contest with Georgie Rankin and we're like running towards the – I wasn't even directly involved, but I'm like, I just run through Chloe Malloy. I'd bumped off. I've got all this momentum. I'm kind of like – anyway, G kind of bobbles the ball over the line. Lucy gives G a bump and I just went to bump G, bump Luce.
Yeah.
Anyway, I didn't think anything of it. Kingy, after the game, had to sit there and be like, what happened? I don't know what happened to start that off. Anyway, turn around. Luce has got these – and, like, she's looking – not at me. She's looking through me.
Crazy
she's
eyes.
Looking through me with these, like, deadlocked, straight into my soul. I'm all of a sudden – I've got her jumper. She's got mine. Do you know what I'm saying? She's coming at me being like, yeah, you want to go? Yeah. And I'm holding her being like, Luke, I said, it's me. I said, we're cool. It's me. Let's chill. We're cool. We're cool. We're cool. So all of a sudden from the external view, I think obviously then AMAC runs in being like, there's beef. This is really starting up. And I'm yelling at Luce being like, I don't think she, whether or not she recognized it was me, I don't know.
She just got caught up in the moment.
So we're then holding each other. We're going at it, but I'm still – the messaging is like, Lucy, it's okay. Everything's all right here. By that point, it obviously escalated because that's what happens when it comes to on-field footy scruffs is that, you know, the rest of the group comes in. So AMAC had run in, G had run in, Cynthia Hamilton had run in, and I've had a slight push and shove with Cynthia before. Again, none of this is personal at all. Mm. I don't have any background. I don't have any beef with any of these girls. Anyway, that fizzled out. Ugh. 20 seconds, the umpire had thrown the ball up, which is a perfect way to stop a fight because at the end of the day, that's what we're there to play is footy. Focus on the footy. Luce and I had a moment after the game, shaking hands. We were smiling at each other before even seeing it, smiled. I said, hey, aren't we cool? She's like, mate, absolutely. Hate of the moment. Love you, mate. So now we're fine. I think on Facebook, I saw the AFL Women's posted that clip being like, tensions had risen between Lucy McAvoy and Michaela Bowen after this play. I just tagged Lucy and I said, love you. Got a bit of traction on that. So we're cool. And I really love her. I don't know where that came from. And I wouldn't say I'm usually one to be involved directly like that. If someone's getting put into, I will absolutely come over and have their back. But it's not usually me.
What are you thinking at that time? Like, what are you, like, other than that you go, I'm out of my weight class here.
Nah. No way. No. I think that's what you have to do when you're small, Kingy, is
Scrappy Bowie.
Yeah. Like, you just have to. I didn't think so. I think I was predominantly in my mind was being like, I don't know where this is coming from. Can we just fizzle this out between us? And then it didn't fizzle out. And then I'm like, okay, well, then now I've got to put a foot in the ring. Like, anyway, as quick as we can get that stuff over and done with and get back onto playing, the better.
McAvoy and Bowie in the octagon?
Yeah, let's do it. Oh. I reckon I'd have some pretty big odds against me, to be honest.
How do you go with the boxing gloves?
Love them. I wouldn't say like Rachel Kearns for us. She's actually, she had background in boxing.
She's not Irish amateur champion or something.
She was similar thing. The story, she shared that with us and she was into equestrian too.
Was she really?
Yeah.
I don't think that's been told.
No.
I think it was soccer, boxing, Gaelic.
Gaelic, yeah. Well, maybe she didn't want that on live, but it's on live now, and I'm sure she won't mind. She's shared it with all of us.
Is she?
Yeah, there's photos of her jump. I don't even know what you'd call them. The jumps.
Show jumping,
yeah, on the back of a horse. Yeah, have to zoom in to be like, that's not Rachel. It is Rachel.
Wow.
Yeah. But, yeah, the boxing, I definitely an interest of mine, and I often think the hair, the small, the, like, snappiness that I have, if I had a different life, maybe it's something I'd take up. I know Mum will be listening and advise me against that, but I love it. I just have never got into it much. I do a fair bit in the pre-season. A lot of us girls have group sessions together to try and just switch up the training in the pre-season, but
can anybody throw a good punch and not, and I mean that in a boxing sense,
yeah,
out of the group
other than Rachel? I reckon Gunge.
Yeah.
I reckon Gunge, she's got a long, long lever to her. She's got some pretty long, lanky arms. And the Croatian in her comes out, and she won't mind if I say this on live radio, but she knows that, like, if it's on, it's on. If you've got Gunge in your back, like, in terms of an on-field scrap, you're pretty safe.
Yep.
Yeah. She's good. She's a gentle, gentle soul.
I was going to say, off the field, she's...
Oh, she's... And again, one of my closest mates, Gunge, but, yeah, she's feisty when she needs to be.
Who shifts steel in the gym?
Oh, great question. Who shifts steel in the gym? Nina Morrison.
Really?
Would be, I think in terms of power to weight ratio, is one for me that I'm like, she's smaller stature, but just, you know, she's built. She would be absolutely be putting, I think she did chin-ups the other day with a 20-kilo plate hanging around her. We're all pushing to do like a certain plate with around us at the moment with like a smaller amount of reps.
Yeah.
But also just in terms of bench press, she would be benching as much as say like a Meg Mac, if not more. Jackie Parry as well on the bench yesterday. We had bench press and yeah, there's a couple that I can't seem to get my bench press up at all.
Is there a board where people put down what they're doing? Is there that?
We had 2 weeks ago, we had T, who's our new S&C.
Yeah.
We had two main lifts. So we can choose from, I think it's a box squat, front squat, a hip thrust, and various exercises. There's that. And then we have to do bench press as well.
You're speaking a foreign language to
me
right now.
And then she was like, I'd just love you to put your best on the board. Whether or not what her thinking was behind that, whether or not that was to hold some accountability to us or... just put some healthy competition out there. But so that was a couple of weeks ago. But other than that, we just enter into our little team builder app. But it's all healthy throughout the club.
All right. I know I'll never get access to the Cats gym, which is fair. That's inner sanctum stuff.
Never know, Kingy.
But maybe we threw Rocky because she's got CrossFit Geelong.
Yeah.
Maybe you and I need to go down and do... Like, I need to be put through...
Get some visuals. I'll take you through Bowie's...
Yeah.
Bowie's Bonanza.
All right, yeah. We need to go down there, and we'll put it on the socials and
We'd
stuff
love
like that.
That. Yeah, for sure. Let's do it.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Let's All right. do it. That'd
I'll
awesome.
Talk to our
Rocky
social.
Rocky will love that too.
I'll talk to her. Yeah, she will love that.
Yeah.
Our social media guy. Here. Yeah,
awesome.
So come on, we're going to go and do some stuff.
Let's make it happen.
Bowie's going to make me die down at CrossFit Geelong. Rocky will be wrapped with the little free plugs here. By the way, talk about free plugs. What are you wearing? It's the that looks like an old Stussy S on your T-shirt.
Not far off. It's actually a Nike shirt. It's a Sabrina. I don't know if I can get a Sabrina Iconescu. I think that's how you say her last name.
Oh, the tennis player.
The
basketball
in the women's. I think this is her personal like branded Nike collab.
Right.
And then I'm wearing my own track pants, of course. So
sorry, that brand again.
Boxes by Bowen. Plug in. Woo. Thank you, Kingy.
How do we buy them?
How do you buy them? Boxesbybowen.com. I've got a website up. I've got my own Instagram page up. I'm actually trying to work with my management at the moment, which is, again, something I'm really interested in is, one, growing my own brand, growing Geelong's brand, growing AFLW brand, but then growing the Boxes brand as well. So I do find I have a really big passion in what that looks like. I feel like it's a massive opportunity for not only myself nowadays, but just the way that, I don't know if I've said this to you, Paul, I don't love social media. I don't love the way it makes me feel. I don't love the way that I think it's influenced society, but I think there are positive things we can get out of it. Like we've mentioned with the Mitch Brown situation, and there's positive movements, but there's also, it's a double-edged sword, I think.
Yeah.
So I find myself really interested in learning more about it because of both sides of that, because I'm like, I want to tread cautiously, but also I think there's opportunities to spread love, to spread awareness, to spread all good things. And I'm actually working with my management at the moment on just doing a bit of workshopping around how I can better market my Boxes stuff, what that looks like, how can I intertwine that more with my own personal brand. And I'm finding they're working really well collaboratively with each other. And like I mentioned as well, the more I can invest in those, the more I feel like that grows the competition as well in terms of just promoting. I've often spoken up a bit throughout the four walls at the footy club around promoting the AFLW, and I think for me as a viewer and supporter of other sports, I often will fall in love with an athlete before falling in love with the sport, and the athlete is what takes me to the game a lot of the time. So the WNBA, I haven't managed to get to one of those games yet, but I now watch it because of the likes of Caitlin Clark, the likes of Natasha Cloud, and all these athletes that I've seen grow their profile, and I'm interested in them. So that, I think, in turn, I think there's a lot of girls throughout the AFLW who are really doing that quite well at the moment and growing their own brand in a sense of like Jasmine Smith is someone that plays for the Bulldogs now, and I've just done a collaboration with her on Instagram with boxers, myself and her, in terms of some promotion. But I'm like, it's that promotes my boxer stuff, it promotes Jazz, it promotes the AFLW, it promotes me, it does. So I'm really interested in all that and how to get the most out of all folds of it, I think. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is really cool. I'm finding I can include others throughout that journey as well, which is awesome.
And now that we have two national women's teams in Geelong, second year of Geelong in the WNBL.
Yes.
Coming up, Geelong Venom.
Yep.
Will you get
to Geelong Venom, did you say?
They're going to be called Geelong Venom.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So didn't have a nickname last year, just Geelong United.
Right.
As an offshoot of...
Did Mont Conti play for them?
She did.
Yes.
Not returning this year,
Geelong,
I understand.
Geelong Venom. Yes.
Yeah, Venom they've been.
Yeah, wow.
With a snake or a cobra or similar as their... With a little tinge of sort of fluoro green in their logo.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. So there's probably, I suspect you being a sports fan, a female sports fan, their season starts mid-October.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they've got a real front-ended group of... home games too.
Yeah, great.
I think they play six of their first eight or something.
I honestly would love to be better in that space and actually get it. Here I go. Like, this is what I'm talking about. I'd love to be able to get to a game and support them in person. Like,
I could see you
very cool
collabing with Shiley Heal.
Absolutely.
Jazz Shelley.
Absolutely. Yeah. And this is again where I know you can sense me as soon as I speak about this and my passion just goes wild, and I could speak to you about it for a good hour. But it's where I see the biggest opportunity to get the most out of each opportunity is like, why not do that? Why not make a specific collection with one of the athletes or, continue that promotion, not even just in the women's game. Like, I've often thought from the men's space in Geelong, is there something I can work with the club on and, have a look through that sense. And it's all things that I love, so it's good.
XL pants, double XL shirt, by the way, Bowie.
I got you, Kingy. I got you.
I've got enough clothing. And it's all branded with something.
You can never have enough hoodies.
I'm not a hoodie fan.
Okay, well, what do you want?
Tell me and I'll make it.
What do you want, a crew neck?
A crew neck. I don't want something I can wear on the golf course.
Okay. Like a polo.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to have to make a polo just for you.
Yeah.
Because I don't think anyone else from my audience is going to want a polo.
Light fabric.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about, like, you have to have a collar on the golf course, don't you?
Yes, you do.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes it tricky.
I've never been a hoodie fan.
Right.
And I think it's sensory.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
What, just having too much around your neck?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. I just don't. The only hoodie I wear is a Lifeline one.
Special.
Jace Doherty that calls on KROQ Footy.
Yep.
Used to work for Lifeline locally.
Yeah,
and
wow.
He gifted me one. That's my around the house.
Yeah.
It's got the number on it. It's the only one I've ever put on and gone, oh, I find that. I reckon it's sensory.
It's really interesting you say that, Kingy, because as we often have found out throughout these potties, we either have stark similarities or complete differences.
Yeah.
And I will 9 times out of 10 opt for a hoodie or opt for a turtleneck or something.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but the safety of feeling like I have something, I don't know if it's my introvert in me that's like, I feel like if I can just sit there and just have a little bit more kind of face covered if I really need to and just put the hoodie over my head, like, I love it. I find it makes me feel a bit cozier and like I can just hide into it a bit.
It needs to be pissing rain from a great height for me to put a hood on.
You're wearing a quarter zip like looking thing now. Can I make you one of them?
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, great. Okay. Yep.
Thank you.
Maybe we can settle on that. Kingy's collection. It'll sell out.
For the larger man.
It'll sell out.
Yeah, there you go. There's your slogan and logo. We were going to talk about what are you watching today.
Oh, yes. A great one,
But we've run out of time.
Okay.
Well, this is a podcast. You never run out of time, but...
Next week.
We can do it next week,
great.
I reckon.
I'll still be watching it, so great.
All right. So, all right.
Finish up.
Cat Who Caught Your Eye?
Cat Who Caught My Eye this week. Again, honourable mention Ashling Maloney. I think she is dangerous as ever for us in front of goal. And I think I would usually mention her for that, but honourable mention for her this week because I think she did a lot more than that. I think she was around the ground a lot for us. I think she ended up with 20-odd disposals. So I thought she just got up and down the ground a lot for us this game and probably played out of her usual position, which was really beneficial. But
can I just say something?
Please.
Sorry, I apologise for interrupting, but
please.
I really want to see a forward line that has Maloney and Shear in it. I think we all do.
I was going to say something then, but I'm going to hold on to it just because.
Hold.
I'll hold.
Hold.
I'll hold.
Put the brake on.
Put the brake on, yes. But I would love to see that too. I would love to see Chloe Shear out there. And, you know, I don't think anyone's done it harder than her in terms of rehab over the last couple years, like,
and throw Shelley Scott into that trio as well, and
you know, and we had that once, Kingy. We had that,
but
once.
We haven't had it for long enough.
We haven't had it for long enough, and we hadn't had consistency. And trust me, you're not alone in feeling that way at all.
And a Jackie Parry that has taken her game
for sure to the next level.
Yeah, you want 25 Maloney,
yep.
With 23 Sheeran,
yep. Yeah, absolutely. It's dynamic. It's dangerous. Absolutely. Yeah. You make a lot more out of forward 50 entries and a lot more bang for buck.
Sorry for interrupting.
Don't, please, always interrupt. I think I've interrupted you that many times, so don't even worry about it. But that was my honourable mention, was Ashling Maloney. My cat for the week is, speaking of getting up and down the ground, Georgie Presbarkis. Yeah. Fill me in on the numbers.
27 disposals, 16 kicks, 11 handballs, 3 marks, 11 clearances with 452 metres gained and a couple of goal assists. And that's only from 86% time on ground, by the way.
Yeah. Is there a stat on there that said she was absolutely getting tagged to all days? No, probably not.
That doesn't exist.
That is something for me, Kingy, that as her teammate, as someone sitting on the high forward looking in, it was just relentless. The whole game, she had, I think it was Bridie Kennedy from Sydney, who she copped last time we played Sydney as well. And I think, you know, a tag obviously sucks, but it's a very backhanded compliment that she is, you know, one of our biggest threats, if not our biggest threat on our side. But as you mentioned, Kingy had just had such a massive impact for us throughout four quarters. I thought it was really consistent performance for her, and I think there was a lot of times where in the past I'd probably seen maybe a tag get the better of Prez in terms of the mental aspect and it being very heavy for her. And I think it's something as a group we've tried to identify how we can help whoever it is that's getting tagged, help them out with it, so it's, you know, not so heavy on just one individual's shoulders. But she just, I don't think that took away much at all when it came to her overall impact. I think, honestly, there was that many times I thought that Prez was just going to spit it and just start, you know, one of her own fights, take from my lead. But, I thought she was really mature around the way that she held the tag. I thought she was selfless at times in terms of bringing herself away from the contest because she was knowing that she was getting tagged, so that allowed Neans and AMAC to get involved there as well. But, yeah, can't go past Prez for this week. She was super dynamic for us.
All right, Bowie's best.
Bowie's best. From the competition, from the round, would be Matilda Scholes, Port Adelaide.
Yata Pulte.
Yep.
Be part of Indigenous round.
Absolutely. She, 22 disposals.
Correct.
4 goals.
Correct.
Like
16 hit-outs, 7 clearances. 700
and something metres gained.
10.
Like, I think
99% game time.
Yeah.
So she must have been off about 30 seconds.
Yeah, which is, I think there's a bit of a conversation now as around the competition in terms of internally at the Cats and also just throughout the AFLW around the growth of the ruck role and the growth of what is required for a ruck to have more more impact than just stoppages, more impact than just centre bounce. And I don't think there's a better example at the moment of that than Matilda Scholes. I think she's, as we were speaking before about growing her personal brand, I think she's doing that incredibly well off field, and I think that's just complementing her on field, her confidence. She's in the best way possible, a massive figure for them. She's dominant in the ruck and obviously clearly dominant around the ground and in front of goal. Like, you can't really ask much more from one of your tall players. And I think she will be on note for a lot of taller players throughout the comp to follow suit.
Have a great week.
I will do, Kingy. I just said to you this is the highlight of my week, so I already can't wait for next week.
Sure. If this is the highlight of your week, please go and find
something. I told you I've just been having a lot of conversations and they've been dissecting conversations recently. So this is a nice one to just
a bit more
sit back.
Cathartic.
Yeah, sit back, chew the fat with Kingy and, you know, chat to our listeners.
Thanks.
I love it.
Kurz Hire. Thank you to Jared and the team at Kurz Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales, who bring us this AFLW Cat Attack podcast. Cats on Sunday, 3:05 Essendon
Windy Hill.
We'll
get it done.
Which I've never been to.
I don't know how far away it is, actually.
Nah, it's not far.
Melbourne way.
Yeah, hour and a quarter.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
We'll be fine.
Bye.
Bye. The Cat Attack Podcast.
Kurz Hire, locally owned and operated for over 40 years.